No, I need to be
Your
looking.
pocket
I need to get to Cape
started
Town.
the weekend.
Excuse me?
I could see that you are in the weekend.
Hey, but now we're starting a workshop tomorrow. Hey, the whole time, each whole day Saturday, whole day Sunday, whole day Monday. It's tough, man.
Yeah, you must know your things. Must
Yeah.
know
I
your
want to
things.
try and get us onto the TV screen, the workshop, the big screen, so I can sleep under the blanket and just watch you all on the workshop on the big screen on TV.
No, there's no luxury, my friend.
It's tough. It's tough, eh?
No luxury.
It's
Yeah, I
really tough.
was in Parliament yesterday, for the first time after so many months.
Yeah, how is it?
Yeah, I know it was fine. Quite a lot of
Good.
us there.
Okay. But none of
Yeah.
the
No,
EFF in Parliament yesterday?
no, no, no. No,
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 no members.
no. No, but they were not there.
Oh, I want to follow the Senegal thing, man. I don't know. I wanted to see what's happening in Senegal today. Is it
The Senegal story. Where is my man?
morning.
I think my
My
man there is in Senegal. He's the national
She's
chair.
representing us in Senegal. I'm
Yes,
sorry. The rest of us will be here. Umam Mente
ask my moment, Jenna.
Colleagues, good morning.
The
yeah. Colleagues, good morning. It's 9:30. I think we are good to go. I want to welcome all of your colleagues to this meeting with Eskom. And I will, off the bat, request that
group has come to the party.
I will, on that note, as I was saying, I will request that all of us who are not on the platform, insofar as speaking is concerned, to please mute our mics, and at the request of parliamentary visual and sound, that if you are speaking, please do turn on your camera. Because this meeting is being streamed on all of Parliament's platforms, communication platforms. So I request that we all observe the protocols that we know, which are mute your mic when you're not on the platform, and to have your camera on. Colleagues, good morning and welcome to this meeting. Colleagues, I've just asked, can you please mute our mics? Thank you. I want to welcome you, colleagues, to this meeting with Eskom, which is part and parcel of our ongoing oversight and engagements with Eskom on matters. We are going to break down the meeting into three parts, and Honorable Van Meenen, you're going to be first off the bat with your focus area. But I would like to first hand over to Eskom to ascertain who's here, because colleagues will remember that we had an unfortunate incident the last time just before Parliament rose for recess, and Eskom was not available in what later transpired to have been a very serious communication breakdown, which had an undesired effect wherein the committee felt undermined. The chairperson of the board has been in touch with myself to communicate the set of circumstances that characterized the last meeting, and which, of course, as I indicate, was unfortunate and to a certain extent unacceptable. However, we are here now, and I would like to therefore welcome all of you colleagues, and for us to focus on the bigger issues, the substantive issues, which is ensuring that the meeting actually proceeds and we actually drill into the matters. We have met with the SIU this week on Eskom-related investigations, and so colleagues, any issue from that meeting from Wednesday that you would like to raise, we will raise today. So I would like to welcome you. I'll hand over to Unless, and of course I'm not sure if the Minister or Deputy Minister is here. If they are, welcome. Unfortunately, I'm using another device today, so I'm quite limited in terms of my ability to access everything which is relevant to the meeting, but the staff will assist. So I'd like to therefore hand over to Eskom, and then Honorable Van Meenen, you'll be first off the bat with your focus area.
Good morning, Chair, and just to mark myself present.
All right. Well, good morning, Minister. All right. I did not see you there. All right. Let's hand over to the Minister first, if he's got any initial remarks that he would like to make, and then we'll hand over to the Eskom chairperson and the board and the executives, and then Honorable Van Meenen, you will then proceed with your focus area. Right, Honorable Minister, over to you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. I'm just here as a backup, so I'm not going to say much, save to say that if there are any interventions that I'm required to make, I'll let you know, but you can hand over to the Chair to lead this process. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you very much, Minister. Prof, good morning. Welcome to you and the board. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Hlengwa and the committee. Honorable Minister, the
Prof, if they can show your face, that would be great.
I'm in the dark. I'm too ugly to be seen, but I'm fine. I'll try and show a little bit of myself. And I just wanted to thank the committee, the Honorable Minister, the ESCOM team and EXCO, the board of ESCOM that is joining us. And again, I want to thank the committee for giving us this opportunity again to be able to engage with SCOPA. I think we have been given substantial items on the agenda, about 8 of them, and we have been preparing for this meeting for a very long time, and I'm sure we are ready to engage with the committee to take whatever questions and engagements that we need to do. We have sent documents both through the minister to the committee, and we can take this as read. And what we have done is to prepare a set of slides that will be presented under the leadership of Mr. Director. And what we have identified is that we should really focus on the substantial issues that needs to be discussed at the level of leadership and strategy. And we plan to do this within at least an hour so that we can give the committee and honorable members the opportunity, I think, to interrogate, to probe, and to engage and give us advice going forward. On that note, I want to assure the committee that we will do our best, and Mr. Derreta will direct, I think, the ESCOM team presentation, and then we will take it from there. But I want to thank the committee again for this opportunity, and hopefully that we can address all these important 8 items and either put them to bed or at least get insights from the committee as to how we can take the matters forward. Thank you again. And I think I should be handing over to Mr. Derreta unless there is somebody else in between. Thank you, Chair.
But Chairperson, thank you very much. As you say, that the matters are being taken as read, so that we can move with speed. And what we'll do is I'm going to hand over to Honorable Van Meenen, who's going to deal with the regular expenditure. And so she will then lay the committee's outlook, and then we'll move on to the next area, Honorable Swart, and then Honorable start with the regular expenditure, finish with that, and then move on, and then all the related matters. So Honorable Van Meenen, I think we can give you some 30 minutes to interact and engage with ESCOM, and then colleagues will come in to deal with that matter, and ESCOM will respond to questions. I hope that's fine. So, Honourable Van Meenen, over to you. I think let us rather be pointed and deal with what we can and not deal with everything haphazardly for the sake of dealing with it. If we don't finish today, we'll set another date so that we can thoroughly deal with all the issues because they are important. So I think let us give ourselves the necessary latitude to be thorough on all the salient points. So Honourable Van Meenen, I'll hand over to you and I will we will come in at 10:05. Honourable Van Meenen, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. After the presentation from the SIU earlier this week, I would actually like to submit to you that I would like to see those slides. I would actually like to see them presented. They have been sent to us, but I do always prefer to actually have a presentation from ESCOM taking us through those. Would it be possible to just focus on those, maybe not for a full hour, but certainly for a briefer period of time?
Okay, no, that's fine. Let's get that. It's your focus area, so we'll follow your guidance on it. It's fine. So ESCOM, let us deal with the investigation. It's on the irregular expenditure and investigations, right? On that particular area. All right.
Let me ask Mr. Andre De Reiter, I think, to direct, I think, who...
Okay, that's fine, Prof.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, sure.
Good morning, Honourable Minister. Good morning, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair, and then also colleagues and executives of ESCOM and members of the public. Thank you for the opportunity to share a brief presentation with you. We have identified the key areas, so we are going to be focusing on the issues that we want to address. So I think let's start with the Black and Veatch and Aveng contracts. I think those are the first contracts that are relevant and that need to be addressed. So if I can first of all ask my colleague, the Chief Procurement Officer, Mr. Sori Chichangano, to take us through slide 6 of the presentation, please. All right. Chair, I hope you can all see the presentation.
Yep, I think we are good to go.
Right. In the just to make it really quick, maybe I can take these. So the Black and Veatch contract is a very large contract. It was initially contracted for an amount of 75 million rand. It has since been expanded on a number of occasions, including some significant irregular expenditure, which we'll deal with in subsequent slides, to 12.5 billion. The other one that is also related to that as a very big one was initially set out at 422 million. That has since expanded to 1.7 billion. With that, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Bob Sukraj, who is acting head of our Audit and Forensic Department, to take us through the investigation into the Black and Veatch contract, with your permission, Chair.
Right, no, that's fine.
Thank you, GCE, and good morning to the Chair and to the committee members. Chair, from ANF side, we were requested to look at the approval of the modifications. Chair, I'm talking to slides 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So I'm giving you the entire I'm summarizing that for you, which is to do with the Black and Beach. So, Chair, we had to look at the approvals for those modifications. Chair, as was mentioned, this contract started off from that 75 million, and it grew and it grew and it grew, and up until now it's about 12.5 billion. And Chair, this was done by using delegation of consent forms. Chair, delegation of consent form is just a form that gives the consent to spend a percentage of the contract, which generally is between 5% and 10%, but which gets approved by the approving body. So that's what a DCF is. So you got the 10% of the contract value, which you can spend in cases of contingencies that arise as the contract goes along. So as this contract progressed, and then Chair, we know this contract originated from a panel. So DCFs, what you're seeing on your screen, those values were done on a DCF. Now, the way it should have been done is that the proper modification to the contract should have been documented in the correct manner, in the correct format, with the correct supporting documents. And that should have been submitted to the adjudicating committee, which generally we call the board tender committee, but it depends on the value of the modification. That failed. So what was done is, when the question was asked, how come this contract just from X amount shot up to 12.5 billion? So Chair, that's how it happened. It was happening in the background via DCS. So committees were not aware that this was happening, and nor was it being reported to the higher levels. Then Chair, there's another point I need to make, is that when it comes to panels, the panel was set up originally by a certain adjudicating committee. Now, you don't increase an individual panel member's amount. You first have to go and approve amount and time via that adjudicating committee for the entire panel. Then once you increase that amount, thereafter you go back to the committee and you ask for allocation per panel member. So that's another matter that did not happen. So Chair, having said that, the end picture is looking like this, that there's about 9.7 billion rand, which in our audit view is that it's unauthorized and irregular. And from a management perspective, that needs to be investigated and taken forward via their processes and reported accordingly. And where we are now, Chair, is that on Monday, there's going to be a meeting with the forensic investigation of ESCOM, SIU, and a service provider. This matter has been escalated as well from an investigative perspective, and that's a meeting where the scoping, et cetera, and will be held to make sure that there isn't duplication, et cetera. And as we did this work, we tried to get to all the committees and to get minutes, etc., to check if these modifications.
Just 1 second, sorry, colleagues. Can we not have the same conversation over and over again? Can you please mute your mics? It interferes with the recording. It interferes with the proceedings. Please, can we just all exercise that discipline and just, yeah, please. But thank you, sir. You may proceed. You may proceed. Descom.
Sorry, Chair. I went on mute, but I'm fine. So, Chair, I was saying that from our side, we tried and we failed in obtaining the minutes to prove that these modifications were done in accordance with process, but we failed. So, on that note, Chair, there's no evidence that these modifications were presented to the correct adjudicating bodies. That's one. Number two, when we looked at some of the ones that were irregularly approved, just to share with you, Chair, the amounts on those mods were just like line items of 20 million, 40 million, etc. And just saying like for extension of work, for standing time, etc. So there wasn't even complete information to substantiate the modifications. So, Chair, as I said to you, the matter is still being further investigated, will be further investigated by the other bodies. So, Chair, in summary, the investigation has revealed that the modifications were incorrectly approved in that they didn't follow the proper process. And in taking it forward, the matter has been escalated to the SIU and the forensic investigation. Chair, I'll stop there now on the Black and Veatch.
All right, CEO. Honourable Van Minen, you will give guidance as and when you want to pose questions because this is still your time.
Thank you. Could I actually ask questions as we go along, as in
sure.
Now?
Yeah,
I'm having problems with sound, so I hope I got everything. So what really concerns me here, I mean, this contract has been modified 6 times since 2005, and it's really the big picture stuff. I mean, frankly, we don't have minutes. I mean, Eskom can't seem to access minutes. There has been, you know, really bad contract management here. I really battle to understand how this could just sort of happen in this sort of so-called vacuum. I mean, why are there not minutes? Whose responsibility was it to ensure that this was actually taken properly through the system? What are the consequence management for this basically failure of contract management? Against whom? I understand that there is very much a tendency for officials to resign and leave the organization. But, you know, there has to, I understand the SIU is investigating, but who was the CEO at the time and who was the board at the time? Because I really can't accept that there just is this complete gulf of information. If we could just get an answer to that.
All right. Responses, please.
It's Bob Sokras. Chair, the matters raised, Chair, where this report has been issued to the CPO, and the CPO is busy with the actioning. And in my report, Chair, we also raised those concerns. And if there's further comments from the Chair, I'll
No, I think the question substantively is who was the chairperson of the board and who was the board. I think Honourable Van Minen is wanting to build on a chain of accountability. So in other words, the age analysis of this, in whose time did it take place?
Andre, could you assist, I think, in responding to this matter?
Yes, Chair, I'll try. These events preceded the tenure of the current board as well as the current senior management team. So it coincided with the period of state capture. We can certainly map to these. It will just take us a minute or so to cross-reference the tenures of the various boards and the various CEOs with the approval amounts that are on the screen. But it is clear that, not trying to dodge accountability here, but all of these events preceded the current...
No, CEO, that is fine. That's fine. I think that's why Honorable Van Menen is posing the question she poses, because she doesn't speak in general terms. And so I think we understand it's not your time. That's fine. Let's do the cross-referencing that you speak to.
Yeah, I want to see if I can help you. I've got a little historical booklet here on Eskom. So in 2009 May, Ms. Barbara Hogan is, I think, appointed as Minister for Public Enterprises. The CEO in November 2009 that resigned was Mr. Jacob Maroja. Then Mr. Brian Damas is appointed as Eskom CEO in July 2010. And in September 2010, all Eskom procurement is centralized with the creation of what is called Group Commercial. November 2010, Ms. Hogan is dismissed by the then president, Mr. Zuma. And Mr. Gigaba is appointed Minister of Public Enterprises. The board chairperson that is introduced in June 2011 is Mr. Zola Sotsi. Then in August 2013, the board tender committee is headed by Mr. Colin Machila. He might have been there before that, according to this booklet that I have. In March 2014, Mr. Brian Damas steps down. April 2014, Mr. Sotsi appoints Colin Machila as acting CEO of Eskom. Then also in May 2014, that's after the 2014 elections, President Zuma appoints Ms. Lynn Brown as the Minister of Public Enterprises. And about the same time, Mr. Koko takes over as Group Technology and Commercial. In October 2014, Mr. Matona is appointed Eskom CEO. Then in December 2014, Minister Brown appoints six new people to the Eskom board. All of them seem to be connected to the Gupta family. And three experienced executives have then stepped down. I'm following this timeline that I have in front of me. The March 2015, Mr. Sotsi suspends four of its top officials, and then he himself is pressured to resign. And then in March 2015, Mr. Ngubane is appointed Eskom chairman. Minister Brown seconds Brian Molefe from Transnet to take over as Eskom CEO. August 2015, Mr. Anuj Singh is seconded from Transnet to take over as Eskom CFO. September 2015, Mr. Zuma appoints Mr. Zwane as the Minister of Mineral Resources. Then according to this timeline, December 2015 is when Minister Nene is dismissed by President Zuma. And then Minister Gordon takes his place. So that would help you to get part of the timeline, Chair. I hope that helps a bit. But the Eskom colleagues should actually, for each of the timelines on the right-hand side of this table, Chair, provide you with who was the relevant CEO, who was in charge of the construction process, and who was the chair and members of the board at the time.
Okay, that's fine. Honorable Van Meenen, over to you.
Thank you. What we're really dealing with, and thank you, Minister, is a complete scrambled egg of what happened in those years, which is going to make accountability extremely difficult. What I'm looking at is essentially trying to overlay what we're hearing from the SIU with what Eskom is telling us here, because my particular concern is consequent management. And when we have so many different players and a very, very complicated timeline, may I ask you a question that we ask Eskom to submit the timeline to us in writing so that we can actually see exactly what's going on there, because it really is a complete scrambled egg of who is in charge when and where. But moving on from that, where are we now? I understand there's the SIU investigation, but are charges being pursued both civilly and criminally in this regard? I don't know if Eskom can at this point tell us against whom, but I just want to get some response as to what is actually happening going forward with everyone who has been responsible for this, to use the term, basically complete mess of the contract. Thank you.
Right, responses to that, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you, Honourable Van Meenen, for those questions. Very valid, and we are in the process now of trying to unscramble this omelette, as you put it. It is a task of some significant proportions because, of course, the Black and Beach contract is by no means the only contract where we have identified these issues and these irregularities. So we are cooperating very closely with the SIU to establish each of the parties that can be pursued. Of course, Eskom does not have the power to pursue criminal charges. We can only lay those charges, and in a very large number of cases, we have in fact laid charges. Progress has unfortunately been quite slow on that front. But we have initiated a number of civil claims against both companies as well as individuals, including former executives. And we are in the process of developing further cases against those individuals. And depending on the outcome of the investigation into the Black and Beach contract, this could be one that is very suitable for both civil and criminal prosecution. But in an era where there was, I think, deliberate confusion of accountability, it takes quite some time to get to the bottom of these facts. So as Mr. Sukrosh said, we are going to be engaging now on this with the SIU. It's another one of the many cases that we are pursuing in close collaboration with the SIU. And once we've done that, we should be in a position to report progress. But I have to manage expectations. These are complex matters, and there was, in many instances, deliberate obfuscation of documentation of procedures, and we have to very carefully pick through all of the evidence, proceed with both civil and criminal claims that we have a high probability of success. So I appreciate that everybody is impatient for consequence management. Justice side, I would respectfully suggest that questions be directed at the appropriate authorities there. But as far as the civil matters are concerned, subsequent slides in the presentation indicate quite clearly that we have been making progress in pursuing civil claims against both private individuals as well as companies. And if the Honourable Chair directs me to do so, we can go through those slides, which Mr. Bartlett Hewu, our Chief Legal Advisor, can take us through if the Chair so wishes.
No, that's fine, CEO. I'm sure that let's get the slides and then on from.
Right. Thank you, Chair. If we can then move on, please, Natasha, to the relevant slides. And ask Bartlett to go through those. So from slide 22 on, please, Natasha, if we can get to that section. And if I can ask Mr. Bartlett Hewu to take us through those slides, please.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Honourable Minister and Honourable Committee Members. As of 30 June 2020, we had recommended 8 instances of criminal prosecutions, 59 of which are with the SAPS, 29 at the time were in the process of being registered. My colleague Bob Sukranj will give us an update as to the status of this 21. May we proceed to the next slide? So this gives us a snapshot of all the completed criminal cases. The first one we had briefed the committee about at our last session in March, which has since been provisionally withdrawn. The second one, there was a report from the NPA which declined to prosecute because when they looked at the evidence, they were of the view that there was no prospect of success. The third one was in Volksrest, which has been finalized, and the third and the fourth one were similar cases where the employee was sentenced to 2 years, which has since been suspended because of the amount that was involved. Next slide.
Chair, thanks, Mr. Hewu. That then concludes an update, but as you can see, we have reported a significant number of cases to law enforcement, 80 cases, but we've only been able to do those. The two small cases, if I can call it that, not that we want to condone any act of criminality, but the amount of 4,272 rand and 40 cents was the only case in which there was, in fact, a successful conviction. The other two cases that have made it to the courts were withdrawn, or there was a nolle prosequi by the prosecuting authority. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Van Minen.
Thank you very much, Chair. Now, in terms of the 80 instances recommended for criminal prosecution, I mean, this was in June. One isn't going to have moved forward particularly swiftly, particularly in 2020, given all the constraints that we've had. On the civil side, how are these matters matched up by civil proceedings? If we could just get that response at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask Mr. Ewu again to comment on that.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair and committee members, we are busy with the SIU. We're about to approach the Special Tribunal on various cases, which one, we need to set aside the contracts, and two, we need to recoup the values of those contracts against those suppliers that were involved in malfeasance, fraud and corruption. That is where the big ticket items are. And also from our own efforts as ESCOM, we instituted a civil process on the 3rd of August against Tegeta, the Gupta brothers, their associates, former ESCOM employees and former ESCOM executives, where we were claiming the sum of 3.8 billion rand, which was related to the acquisition of Optimum Coal Mine. There's also a former minister as part of that court process. We have also pursued the likes of Deloitte. We are also finalizing our court papers to pursue PwC. We are about to finalize a discussion with one of the suppliers together with the SIU, where there are discussions with the multinational to come to the party and return the ill-gotten gains. So, Honourable Chair, we are making strides. In May this year, we received 171 million rand payment from Deloitte as a consequence of efforts that were undertaken by ESCOM. So we, as we uncover these contracts, we instruct counsel to recoup, where we collaborate with the SIU, we make those efforts so that there are collaborative gains. The method that was brought on the 3rd of August, we are collaborating with SIU on that matter as well. We are poor applicants. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Van Minen.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to move on to some of the other contracts, but I think the Honorable Dirks also wants to ask a question.
All right, Honorable Dirks.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Thank you, Honorable Van Meelen, for giving me an opportunity. I just want to go back to that contract of Black and Fish. And I want us to be more specific when we do the cross-referencing on that contract. What we need to try and establish there is that if there is any ESCOM executives, former and current ESCOM executives that served or as directors or that did some work for Black and Fish before they moved to ESCOM. We need to know if there any link between any former executives of ESCOM and that company, whether they've done work for them or whether they've been on their board or something of that sort. So we need to establish that firstly. Then secondly, what we need to establish also We do have documents. ESCOM is in possession with all the minutes of meetings and documentation. We need to know exactly who are the officials that served on the committee that was doing done the adjudication of the increase of the contract amount. So surely that is easy to find. We must know exactly who are the officials that was serving on that in that meeting when these decisions was taken. Because we need to really establish here the link between this company. It was one of the biggest amount of increases that have taken place. So we really need to establish the link between this company, officials, this company, and politicians. We need to establish that. Then, lastly, on the matter, you see, when the minister was giving us the from his book, linking book that he was reading from, that's confusing the matter more, because I do not know whether Honorable Zwane's appointment as minerals energy minister fit into this whole thing. You see, the problem that I have with this year, before 1994 and after 90, and since 1994, people have been stealing from ESCOM. Over the years, there has been theft taking place at ESCOM. It did not start now. It did not start in 1994, it started before 1994. People have been stealing from ESCOM. Now, you see, there's many people out there, there's many other people out there, officials and politicians, that have been involved in the plunder of ESCOM. And everyone today wants to hide behind the Guptas. So when you speak state capture, they want to say Guptas and hide behind that, because they have also been involved. We should not reduce state capture to the Guptas. The state has been captured many years ago, and people have been milking the system over the years. So when we speak about state capture, we should not reduce it to only the Guptas, because we need to go after everybody, and we need to establish clearly the linkages between these companies that have received these youth contracts and officials and politicians. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, that's fine. Can you get a response to those questions?
If I can come in, Chair.
That's Honourable Minister.
Yeah, just for Honourable Dirks's information, what I was reading from is a booklet called the ESCOM Inquiry, which was produced by a group of people as a resource to the Public Enterprises Inquiry into ESCOM in 2017. And in it is a very useful timeline. And what I did was, to the best of my ability, go through that timeline and give you the highlights as this booklet contains it. So, I think honorable members will find it very useful. I think it's on the web as well to get hold of this booklet. So that's the first point. The second is, whether we like it or not, it's now fully established through various mechanisms, including the Commission of Inquiry being chaired by the Deputy Chief Justice, that although he must come out with his report, but with all the information available, that the Guptas were very central to the process of state capture. That they might have been stealing before and after is a separate matter. Again, I was just reading from the timeline that's available in this booklet. The rest of the political discussion, Honorable Dirks and I can have offline, but I just wanted to tell you what I was reading from. And if the honorable members don't have it, then my office can make it available to them, because it begins to answer the question that Honorable Van Minnen was asking, and yourself, Chairperson, about who was the CEO, who was on the board, and what were the factors at play in the past 10 years or 15 years in relation to some of the things that are under review in SCOPA at the moment. Thank you very much.
All right. Honorable Falmin, if I may crave your indulgence, can the ministers responded to the letter? Then there's the first set of questions by Honorable Dirks, and then Honorable Mkonto, and then we can begin tying this one. All right, Honourable Mkhonto.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members and the Minister and colleagues from ESCOM. Chair, from what Mr. Hewu has presented, it seems it's only a small amount are successfully prosecuted. I just want to know with the withdrawn cases where it is said there is not enough evidence. I want to know whether ESCOM has given up on those cases or they are ready to go and gather the information required so that even those cases can be successfully prosecuted, because there is quite a large amount of money that has been lost on those cases. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, that's fine. ESCOM responses, but I think also what we need to do, colleagues, there are 59 cases registered with them that have been reported to STEPS. I think we do need an update from STEPS, and when we meet with the law enforcement agencies, we can do that. And Lebo, thank you very much for posting the booklet the minister referred to. I'm sure members can be able to access that in real time. Right, ESCOM, and then Honourable Van Minen, back to you.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members for those questions. So we will definitely, as per the Honourable Dirks's request, look at cross-referencing the ESCOM officials who were involved, make sure that we establish if there were any officials, to the best of our knowledge, that had any linkage to Black & Veatch prior to the award of the contract or prior to joining ESCOM. If they could have influenced in any way, we will certainly disclose that. And we will also look at the minutes and the individuals who presided over the meetings where the relevant decisions were made. With regards to the question raised by Honourable Mkhonto, we will definitely not give up on trying to pursue both criminal and civil cases. But again, we are not in a position to direct the prosecution authorities on which cases they pursue or don't pursue. We can only, with the assistance of legal counsel and our own forensic investigative capabilities, assemble as much evidence as we can, compile a dossier which we then hand over to the police, and they then work with the National Prosecuting Authority to pursue those cases. What is important is to just stress that we have been stepping up our civil recoveries, because that is a means that in conjunction with the SIU is open to us. And the case that Mr. Hewu referred to of the endeavor to reclaim some 3.8 billion rand from a number of former ESCOM executives as well as the Guptas, I think is going to be an important step in the right direction as we seek to increasingly step up our efforts to reclaim money that was misappropriated from ESCOM. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Van Minen.
Thanks very much. I think let's move on to get an update on the Aveng matter, and then from there we can move on with the other contracts that were overpaid by about 4 billion. If we could then go on to look at what's happening with Aveng, please.
Thank you, Honourable Van Minen. If I can ask again Mr. Hewu to give us an update on where we are with the Avenge matter. There has recently been a court verdict in the dispute with Avenge, so that I think will be instructive if Mr. Hewu can maybe give a short summary to the committee for its consideration.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, the matter between Avenge and Eskom was heard at the Johannesburg High Court on the 8th of June, and judgment was delivered on the 11th of September. The court directed Eskom to pay Avenge the sum of 42 million rand, which had been a dispute between Eskom and Avenge, which had culminated from a response that was provided to Eskom by the State Capture Commission of Inquiry, which had directed Eskom on the 21st of August 2019 not to proceed with payment towards Avenge, and secondly directed Eskom to conduct its own investigation before effecting that payment. So before we could even commence with the investigation, during the course of 21st August 2019 and September 2019, Avenge then brought this court action. Having looked at the decision of the High Court, the board has taken a decision that we need to abide by the decision. Also, from the advice that we received from Senior Counsel Advocate Kasim, and also counsel that was working on the matter, Epstein SC, that it would not serve any ESCOM any good to proceed with leave to appeal. So that's where this matter is at. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Fanmine.
Okay, no, that's fine. Thank you very much. I want to touch on the contracts here that have been overpaid, ABB, Tenova, all of those. One thing that really stands out, and we've touched on it before this morning, is what immediately happens is that officials leave. They resign, they go. Obviously, there have been recommendations regarding criminal proceedings. We've heard from the SIU. But I understand the issue that has been raised of state capture, but I'm still really battling to understand how all of this could essentially take place pretty much in sort of a vacuum of accountability about who is responsible, what controls there have actually been over these contracts. And I take the point that we now have a different, you know, management team. But could we just get an update on what is happening with these? I mean, you did send the slides in the report, but it just seems to be very open-ended. So we could just get some clarity moving forward on those.
Good. Responses.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thanks again for the question. So as we said in our report, if we can deal with ABB, there was a closed procurement tender strategy. And for a number of reasons, it appeared that ABB, even though its price was higher, various adjustments were made during the process, and the contract was then awarded to ABB. It is, as we say, suspected that the tender evaluation was being manipulated in order to ensure that the contract would be awarded to this particular party in question, and a forensic investigation is still ongoing. To give members perhaps a flavor for the complexity of the volume of work involved in these investigations, there are files and files and files of claims, contracts, and documents that have to be perused and gone through, all put in place to create the semblance of legality and variety. So it is really an enormous task to unpack all of these claims, some of which we were inflated. What we've been able to establish so far is that there are four major variation orders for which we can find no proper substantiation. And these four variation orders form the basis of our contention that the claims that were paid were in fact grossly inflated. We are in close cooperation again with the SIU on this matter, as well as through the SIU's good offices with law enforcement authorities in the United States, in Switzerland, as well as in Germany. And we are in negotiations with ABB with a view to settling this claim, and further discussions are ongoing. The employees involved in these issues are under investigation by the SIU, and that of course is one of the reasons, as they have left the employ of Eskom, is that we are again at the mercy of the legal system to make sure that the appropriate consequences are meted out to those individuals. So this is a large one, but we have good reason to be confident that we will be able to settle this matter. And we are in the process of engaging with the assistance of senior counsel as well as the SIU with a view to settling the matter and getting this this out of the system. Again, when it comes to Tenova, there have been a variety of significant claims that have been overstated, and at this point in time, we are still again investigating the potential overpayment, and the criminal cases have been referred to the NPA. We are in discussions again with Tenova. Tenova have informed us at the end of July that they, according to their own investigation, have found no form of any overpayment. So we will have to pursue this matter in a more adversarial manner in order to ensure that we can recover the monies due. Now, you will have seen that the contract managers involved resigned, and that has, of course, it's a very familiar story by now that there's a certain sense of moral hazard that is created in that you can engage in unlawful behavior, and as soon as you are confronted by your employer, you simply resign to escape any disciplinary action by Eskom. And that is where we have to rely on the good offices of the law enforcement agencies as well as the SIU. The same story really applies to Tubula, and we are now in the process of pursuing that particular claim. And again, we are of the view that there has been significant inflation of monies paid to the tune of some 400 million. And the consequences of these actions, again, is that people have resigned. The SIU is looking at instituting civil claims, and we are in the process of requesting the appointment of experts to assist us in the quantification of losses. And this is one of the outstanding matters for approval from National Treasury, where we await their support for the appointment of this particular expert. That, of course, that approval process does not help us to expedite the process. The last one then is the joint venture, Stefanuti Stocks Basil Reed. where there is another very significant overpayment estimated at some 1 billion rand. We indicate in our report what the sequence of events was that led to this. We have again seen the same story. Eskom staff have resigned. The contracts are under investigation. There have been criminal charges or evidence in support of criminal charges against 11 people have been submitted to the NPA in June 2020. And as we further unpack this particular saga, there could be further action taken against both Eskom staff as well as former Eskom employees, and then of course the contractor in question as well. And once again, I have to point out that we really need experts' assistance in understanding exactly what went on. And this is, again, in the hands of the procurement process to enable us to make sure that we can thoroughly understand and ventilate these matters before we proceed. And then there is a further amount, and one doesn't want to be flippant, of 180 million rand with corporate social investment overpayments and so forth, which we have, which we're also in the process of trying to recover, again with all of the assistance that we can muster at this particular point in time. We are, I think, belatedly probably trying to shut the stable door in order to prevent further horses from bolting. So we have improved our preventative control measures, and we are significantly tightening up on our project control oversight mechanisms as well as on our procurement oversight mechanisms in order to try and reduce any further malfeasance or defalcation that may take place. And this, of course, is after the fact, but this is done in order to fix the system. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to stop there and trust that that has answered the question.
All right. Thank you very much, CEO. All right, colleagues, let's open it up. Honourable Dirks, for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want some clarity on the Deloitte's matter. I didn't get the writer too clearly on the issue when the slides was put up on the issue of Deloitte. The reason why I'm coming back to the Deloitte's matter was the last time when a presentation was made, it was, we were informed that Deloitte have agreed to pay back some of the monies. And I had a problem with it, that they are paying back the money. My view was that criminal charges should be brought against the Lloyds. We cannot when you are get caught out and you want to return money. I strongly believe that criminal charges should be brought against the Lloyds. But the minister at that time then informed me, and there's a recording video of their response circulating all over, where the minister responded to me by saying that not all corruption matters are criminal, which I have a serious problem with it. Wrongdoing is wrongdoing, corruption is corruption, and criminal charges should be instituted against everybody that has been involved in corruption. And when you look at just at the Eskom, besides other departments of government, when you look at Eskom, you can see everything was rotten. The rot set in everywhere. Even auditors were the center of the corruption. Like Deloitte has been involved in this thing, and I didn't get the rater too clearly on when he raised the issue about they going after Deloitte as a criminal, or is it just to recover the funds? I just want to find out the criminal case against Deloitte, or is it just to cover the recover funds? Thank you.
Honourable Chair, right, if I can respond to that.
Okay, can we, before you do, CEO, can the Minister just, I remember the remarks that Honourable Dex is referring to. If the minister can clarify it, I remember that. I think at some point it was. That since it's come up, let's just dispense with it, and then the CEO can come in to give the responses. Minister? Raj CEO, you can proceed and we'll come back to Minister Kodan.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So the conduct that we have pursued against Deloitte relates to a contract that was concluded for certain consulting services. It was determined by an analysis that these services were, or the contract leading up to these services were provided in an unlawful manner. I think one's got to distinguish here, and I'm not a lawyer. It's many years since I qualified, so I speak at my own peril. But there's a distinction between unlawful behavior and illegal behavior. Illegal behavior will give rise to criminal liability. Unlawful behavior gives rise to civil liability. In this instance, in accordance with our assessment based on a legal overview of the contract, the conduct attributed to the company in question was considered to be unlawful. And on the basis of that unlawful conduct, a civil claim was then instituted in order to save time. We have then agreed with Deloitte to settle the matter, and an amount of 171 million rand was received by Eskom from Deloitte to settle the civil matter as far as this is concerned. However, in the event that there could have been criminal matters, and again, this is beyond the purview of Eskom, is that the DPCI is also looking into the matter, and it is also serving before the State Capture Commission of Inquiry. So we do have the other agencies that have criminal prosecution and their purview looking at this and also investigating this. But as far as Eskom is concerned, of course, we are very pleased to cooperate and support with evidence where this is required, but the civil matter has now been settled. I trust that clarifies the matter, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Babu Samuel, if you can ask, my network is doing what it does best now and causing problems.
Okay. Otherwise, you're awake.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Good.
Right. Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Minister and the CEO and officials. Chair, I just have a main concern that it's not clear what the status of internal investigations are at Eskom. The report focuses more on cases referred to SAPS and the NPA. I would therefore like to know if there are any internal investigations so far and what has been the outcomes of those investigations, if there are internal investigations. Because in February, Eskom said that a supplier review committee will be established, which should expose names of suppliers who were involved in wrongdoing. Has this review committee been selected? How many companies have been identified? And who are those companies? I'll stop there for now, Chair. Thank you.
Chair, through you, if I may respond.
Yes, you can proceed, CEO.
Thank you. So in response to the member, yes, the Supplier Review Committee has been established as was committed. If I can please ask our Chief Procurement Officer, Mr. Chichangano, to give us an update on decisions taken so far by the Supplier Review Committee. Solly, please.
Thanks, Chair and Andre. The committee has been established as indicated by Andre. We have already dealt with more than 100 cases, which the list will be provided to the committee on what sanctions have been imposed. But however, the major cases that are being handled by SIU, those cases have not been finalized and they have not been referred to the supplier review for consideration. Thanks, Andre.
Thank you, Solly. And if I can, Chair, with your permission, also ask Mr. Sukraj to address the issue of internal inquiries against employees currently still in the employ of Eskom.
Thanks.
That's fine.
Chair, with regards to internal investigations, yes, Chair, we do have facilities where employees report through cases and they get recorded and they are ongoing in terms of in the investigations. Chair, on a quarterly basis, we report our progress to the Audit and Risk Committee. And Chair, we also then track the actions of those. So yes, the investigations are happening internally. And in your detailed report, Chair, there is a section where I give you the statistics of how many cases came in, how many were completed, and how many we got on hand. Thanks,
Chair. Let's go to that slide. Let's go to that part. Let's speak about specifics.
Natasha, I'm not sure if you got it on the slide or it's in the report.
Okay, whilst you try and find that, Advocate Mutsibi, head of unit of the SIU, thank you very much for being here. It was an omission on my part to not welcome you at the outset after we had requested you to be here when you were here on Wednesday. If I may maybe hand over to the head of unit of the SIU colleagues to speak on the cases which are before them and maybe have reaction of the issues that have been raised. And then we can then go back to the issue of the internal matters whilst they try and find that slide of go to the report and actually speak about specifics for the record. Babu Mtev. Hello?
Sorry about that, Chair. I was muted.
Okay, sure. All right.
Sorry about that. I apologize. Chair, as we reported day before, there's a few cases that are before us. And at this stage, my colleague, Claudia, can really update the committee again, just so that also be on the same page. Of course, we do interact with them. They know about the cases that are before us, but I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Ms. O'Brien, just to update the committee again. Thanks.
Yeah, she can just give a broad executive overview because substantially we dealt with the matters on Wednesday.
That's right. Yes.
Specifically, if there's anything that's for emphasis that's required. Correct.
Agreed, Chair.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Sure.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I think we can, having done the presentation day before last, I think we highlighted very much the same matters that are being referred to in the current presentation. I think importantly is to understand that, as Mr. De Reiter indicated, these matters, although they are all at different levels of completion in terms of our investigations, in certain areas we have sufficient information that have been referred to the prosecuting authorities, and there we are working with them on an ongoing basis, because these matters are complex, and I think that is the crux. And at this point where we stand is that in terms of the civil proceedings that we want to institute, we need to quantify what the damages were. And here, this is not the kind of quantification that the SIU can do on its own. So here we need the assistance of experts like engineers, quantity surveyors, delay experts, etc., etc. So in all of these instances, we are currently working on, although we have estimated overpayments, we are working on getting to a figure that can be confirmed and that will stand up in court when we do approach the court. I'm not sure if there's anything else you want me to elaborate on.
Chair, just to indicate that when we appeared, we summarized that we've got about 39 NPA referrals, and those would vary from various investigations and various matters, whether it's Stefanotti or the Tenova investigation or Tubular. So we just didn't itemize them like that in the summary. But on these referrals, then there's also 32 asset forfeiture unit referrals. And I've noted that our colleagues at ESCOM mentioned a figure of 59, if I've noted it correctly. So Chair, you'll realize that in some of the matters that are probably not within the scope of the proclamation, ESCOM does its forensic investigation, and they pick up these matters, and then they register those cases on their own. So that could probably explain the difference in terms of the criminal matters that have been referred. But as I indicated, we are in continuous engagement with ESCOM to ensure that the numbers are aligned and we understand what causes the differences. Some of the matters, and Mr. Hehu did indicate that we are considering approaching special tribunal on some of those matters, specifically the ABB and all of those other matters that we are busy with. Our approach, and which has really been approach shared by ESCOM, and we do this in various of our investigations, that the settlements that we reach should really be made an order of the special tribunal or an order of courts, as the case may be, because there's a reason that we could do that, so that we've got legal certainty around the settlement, and that the steps that follow after, if there's any other steps that follow, there should be certainty around those steps. So there's really an alignment in terms of the civil matters that our colleagues at ESCOM presented, and by the CEO. There's really no material difference that requires an explanation, Chair. Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right, no, that's okay, fine.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
Thanks, HOU. That was, and then Honorable.
If you may repeat that, Chair, we did not hear you. Yes. You are breaking, please.
Yeah, my network is giving me serious issues. I was saying, can we go back to the issue of the internal matters that was being sourced from the report, and then Honorable Dex, and then Honorable Swartz.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If I can respond, in our quarterly report, which we submitted on the 30th of September of this year to SCOPA, on page 20, we give an overview of the institution of criminal charges against employees, former employees of Eskom. The DPCI is conducting criminal investigations regarding Mr. Brian Malefe's pension payout, Mr. Machela Koko, and Impulse International against Mr. Anoj Singh, Mr. Koko, and Tegeta Exploration. The SIU is conducting a number of investigations, as Advocate Motivi has just said. The State Capture Commission is conducting investigations, and we have referred 9 new matters to the SIU for further investigation, and we're currently awaiting feedback on that. In this report that we submitted, honorable members, we also have a list of, and it's quite a long list, of employees who resigned in the face of potential disciplinary action, confronted with actions of doing. So the names of those individuals, as well as the retirement dates, are contained on pages 22 and 23 of that report. Then also include in that report a comprehensive list of all of the matters that have been referred to law enforcement agencies. So with the indulgence of the committee, if I can suggest that members refer to that report for all the detail required. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Dirk.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know, currently we are getting accused in this country that we are doing selective prosecutions, both by politicians and by business people in this country. And I think the statement by the CEO was very unfortunate, that he made that comparison that unlawful behavior and illegal behavior, but unlawful behavior is illegal behavior. And I can guarantee you that is on a trend today all over on social media, that we are saying now that the unlawful behavior that does not warrant prosecution, and there is illegal behavior. It's very unfortunate. I don't think the director should even have responded to my question on the matter with that kind of an explanation. And I again went on to that video of the minister just to listen carefully to it. And yes, the minister is making the comment that not all corruption matters are necessarily criminal. And we were attacked for that day. We must be seen at all times that we act fairly, that we treat everybody equally, that we investigate all cases wherever there was wrongdoing or unlawful doing or illegal doing. We must recover the money and we must go for prosecution.
All right, so Honorable Swartz.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think also that the CEO must not keep us keep on referring us to a report of the 30th of September, because I think he's with his team here
who, according to me, should be responding to questions, even though they might not have some of the things in the slide, but I think the purpose for them being here is to respond to what we're asking. Having said that, Chair, ESCOM is involved in the following cases, amongst others, since he has also mentioned one of the companies, the CEO, Trillion, Impulse International, Deloitte, cases under WBEE Commission involving Don Feng, Murray and Roberts, General Electric. What is the status of these cases? Because, yes, in your report, CEO, when you give us, you'll give us the status of a report in just writing percentages and saying you have attached lists. But if you can truly give us in the true sense of what are the status of these cases, because you were here in February, you were presenting to us, you have given us reports, you have given us follow-up reports. Yes, we understand that some of the reports are with the SIU and there's progress. But you yourself, as ESCOM, what are the status of these cases, Trillion, Impulse, Deloitte? And the documents you have submitted shows that there are 80 instances of criminal prosecutions, 59 registered with SEPT, 21 are in the process of being registered. Only 4 have been completed so far. In one, the NPA declined to prosecute, citing there are no prospects of successful prosecution. This case involved 355 million. What are the reasons for unsuccessful prosecutions mentioned by the NPA? Which ESCOM officials were involved in this case? It is mentioned in the ESCOM documents that the 355 million case was registered by a former senior ESCOM official who allegedly registered a criminal case which did not warrant registration. Who is the senior official who registered this case? As purely this is abuse of power and resources by senior management, how will ESCOM address this and ensure that this waste does not happen in the future? I will stop for now, the Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Honourable Sparks, I think you have crossed into your section, which I suppose let's move to that. Let's get responses and then you can proceed and then we'll come back and tie down on this. Honourable Song, you can just stand by with your section, that's fine. So can we get responses and then Honourable Sparks can then take us through the remaining issues you want to raise on the next.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thanks to the Honourable Members for the questions. If I can ask Mr. Hewu again to respond to questions on criminal charges as well as the civil cases that we've brought so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the Trillion matter, Chairperson, this matter will serve on the 11th of November 2020 before a retired judge in order to conduct a Section 417 inquiry where the affairs of a Trillion shareholders and directors will be called upon to answer questions relating to their assets in the country and their assets offshore so that the liquidation process that we started in January could then trace those assets where we work collaboratively with the South African Revenue Service to put this matter to finality. So on the 11th of November, we will be having the commencement of the Section 417 of the Companies Act inquiry, looking into the affairs of a Trillion, their directors, shareholders. Regarding Impulse, this matter is before the High Court. We are working closely with the SIU in this matter. where Mr. Koko is involved. The strategy from our side is the SIU and ESCOM to set aside and recover the value of the contract that had been awarded illegally to Impulse, which is just over R1 billion, which are various packages of the contract, which cumulatively amount to over R1 billion. The Deloitte matter stated earlier that it has since been finalized with the payment of R171 million to ESCOM. The DPCI, the group chief executive indicated that the DPCI is looking on the criminal side of this matter. On the matter of Marion Roberts, this matter is receiving attention. There are discussions that are taking place between ESCOM and Marion Roberts, and also the DPCI is looking into this matter. Regarding Dongfeng, the contract between Dongfeng and ESCOM was set aside in June 2020 by the High Court, and we also terminated the contract through the Office of the Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Oberholzer. The criminal side of this matter is being investigated by the DPCI. On the registration of criminal matters, I would defer to my colleague, Mr. Bob Sukran. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. It's Bob Sukran. Chair, on that one matter where the prosecuting authority declined to prosecute, here we, from the investigation side, we are taking that matter up, and we are getting to understand why and what happened there, and then we can also then provide more information, etc. So, Chair, that matter is not off the table. It's temporarily withdrawn. I mean, I don't mean temporary from the prosecuting side, but from ESCOM side, said, Chair, we will still be pursuing that matter. Thanks, Chair.
All right, Honorable Swart, you may proceed.
Chair, I'm not satisfied with an answer that says a case that involves 355 million can be temporarily withdrawn and that the matter is still being looked into when it seems that the official, senior official is no longer even there, but that there was cross administration in a case being registered when it was not supposed to be, and the NPA declining to prosecute. So I think that the ESCOM team must at least give us time frames. Yes, you are saying temporary withdrawn, you are still looking into it, but I think that you should be able to give us a time frames here as to when are you bringing it back if you are temporarily withdrawing it, because I would also like to understand why would such a case be temporarily withdrawn, and also if you can also enlighten us who is investigating. Is it you who is investigating it now for you to understand what happened here? And furthermore, I'd
all
also
right.
Okay, Chair.
Yeah, I just thought that you'd in crunches. So that, yeah, maybe let's get responses to those substantively and then you can carry on.
Bob, please respond.
Hello.
Mr. Sukrash, are you there? If you can respond, if possible, indicate a timeline.
Okay, seems as if there's a problem there. All right, Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, also, while they are also trying to connect and respond to Bob, I heard the CEO saying will respond. Surely ESCOM should know who is the senior official who registered this case. As much as you have temporarily withdrawn it and you are investigating, surely you can't also be investigating who registered this case, because it's one of the questions I also asked, unless you are saying that you are also investigating that as well as to who registered the case, then it's something else, Chair. ESCOM documents show that a number of cases which are registered with law enforcement agencies, but the police stations have not been confirmed. Some of these cases were investigated in 2014, 2015. What are the reasons for the slow progress? Thank you, Chair.
All right, let's get responses to that.
If I can ask Mr. Hayward to comment on the speed of response from law enforcement authorities, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, all the registration of criminal cases at ESCOM are done through the Office of the Chief Audit Executive, who would be the Chief Audit Executive at the time in question. Now, when it comes to feedback and the investigations, the wheels of the criminal justice system are grinding slowly. What we could do ourselves at ESCOM is to report these to the SAPS. When it comes to investigations, we receive weekly interactions from the DPCI, the Hawks. We interact with the SIU, but insofar as the SAPS in Sentin, where we've registered a number of cases, is concerned, we are not receiving any joy. That's why you have these delays. What we have undertaken to do and what we are doing with the DPCI is, because of these delays, we requested them during the course of last year to have one case number of all matters relating to ESCOM. And so that they are all centralized and they are investigated by the same team. We have about four teams from DPCI that are looking at matters relating to ESCOM, even those that were opened by politicians in the Western Cape, in the Eastern Cape and other jurisdictions. So we have one case number, we have four teams, and the number of cases when you have four teams, which are about three personnel each, that is part of the delay as well, that is causing the turnaround in terms of the criminal investigations, is human resources on the part of the SAPS. Thank you, Chair.
All right, Honorable Swartz, you may proceed, but I think we must also consider the fact that we will need to meet with the law enforcement agencies on this matter, because to interact with ESCOM on the issue of investigations in the absence of the people dealing with the investigations, we're going to get half-baked responses. So I think a synchronized meeting to overlap the two will be important. Right, Honorable Swartz, you may
Thank you, Chair. In conclusion, Chair, I just want to say that it is very concerning, Chair, that controls are very weak and almost non-existent at ESCOM. If this weaknesses persist, corruption will continue. What is senior management and the board doing to ensure that weak systems are strengthened and enforced at ESCOM? Section 51 of the PMFA states responsibilities of the accounting authorities. The board of ESCOM has failed to discharge all those responsibilities. Is the assurance and forensic unit resourced adequately to deal with all cases at ESCOM? Thank you, Chair.
Proceed. Honourable, ESCOM, you can proceed.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Yes, we have been moving quite actively to strengthen our controls. As an example, in our SAP system, which is a very important control system, there was, up until 10 months ago, a very high incidence varying between 72% and 93% of so-called free text procurement. Free text procurement allows the individual entering a contract request to write in his or her own description of the commodity that is being purchased, and in so doing enable that individual to circumvent the contracts that have been put in place in order to ensure that Eskom pays a market-related price. We have addressed this deficiency, and we now have essentially zero free text procurement taking place. So the controls are being strengthened. That is merely one example. I think under the leadership of the interim chairperson, as well as the other members of the board, it is clear that the tone at the top, which is a very important part of creating an appropriate governance culture, has been significantly strengthened. And we are, I think, paying a lot more attention to compliance, also with those legislative prescripts that govern our operations, such as the Public Finance Management Act. In response to the Honourable Swartz's question whether or not we are adequately resourced at ANF, we are in the process of finalising the appointment of a permanent head of our audit and forensic team. I cannot yet confirm that that appointment will in fact be made, and a decision has been made to appoint an individual, but obviously there's a notice period and also an offer that needs to be made and accepted. But that decision has been made, and we're in the final process as well of appointing a permanent head of our forensic investigation team. In particular, our forensic investigation team has suffered from a lack of resources. The few people that have been operating there have been doing their best with very limited resources, and also obviously exacerbated by our need to have a recruitment freeze. But we are in the process of filling vacancies that exist in that team with an attempt to ensure that we can move forward with bolstering our audit and forensic capability. So the observation from the Honourable Swartz is quite correct. We're aware of it and we are addressing it. Thank you, Chair.
All right, Honourable Swartz, are you fine?
Chair, I just have another question.
You can proceed.
Yeah.
Okay, you may.
There are two cases which were taken on review of evidence. If the ESCOM team can respond to what are the reasons that these two cases were taken on review, Chair.
Proceed. All right, can we get a response?
Mr. Hayward, do you perhaps have an indication of those two cases that are on review?
Chair,
give me the specific criminal matter, civil matter. And then if it's a criminal matter, Mr. Sutraj will deal with it. Then if it's civil, I'll deal with it.
It's criminal.
Chair, it's Bob Sukraj. Chair, I must apologize for earlier. I had issues with my connectivity. Just to give some feedback on the first, well, relates to the same, the question from the member. Chair, the matter was reported, and the information I have is that the senior manager at the time in the forensic department gave an instruction to an employee to go and report this matter. So that's how it originated. Now, Chair, since that time, these are the things that happened, that the matter was thrown out, etc. Now, Chair, I accept there's two matters there that has been thrown out, and I'm going to prioritize that. I was asked to give you timelines. Chair, from an ESCOM perspective, I plead with the committee, give me 6 weeks to do all we can from an ESCOM side, and then it will then be up to the prosecuting authorities to take that forward. And Chair, I'm asking for the 6 weeks because we're still in this lockdown, and I have to, you know, maneuver all of that and make sure that staff do not take unwanted risks as well. Thanks, Chair.
All right, Honourable Swartz.
Thank you, Chair, but by now ESCOM should have put a sort of a program and measures in place. We all know COVID is there. It's going nowhere in a rush. But the matters at hand are very crucial. So 6 weeks is too long, but you will sanction on that, Chair. But I'm just saying that it seems like there is no urgency of putting measures in place. We cannot say that we want 6 weeks so that we don't expose members. We should find a way of how to work around this. And then also, I just want to get from the official that responded now, Chair, that is it because the senior official left, or is it because you are still going to investigate that you still cannot say who is the official who instructed an official to register the case, which means there are two people. The senior official, what is the name? The official who registered. Is it because you are still going to investigate that you cannot divulge names? Or is it because you do not know? Thank you, Chair.
All right, can we get those responses?
I think it's Bob Sukraj again. So with regard to the previous senior manager, the name is Tembeka Ndaba. And regarding the individual thereafter, the employee, I would rather that, you know, I do more work and come back on that. Because I don't have any evidence with me here now to commit to the next. But the senior manager was at that time Tembeka Ndaba. Thank you. And Chair, when I said 6 weeks, Chair, I was looking at maximum. I will make all effort to make sure it comes as quick as possible. But that was just the latest period that I was talking about. Thanks, Chair.
All right, Honourable Swart, and then I'm just going to make a proposal, colleagues, in terms of how we're going to move forward.
I'm fine for now. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Now, Honourable colleagues, Honourable Minister, Chairperson of the Board, we seem to be having a connectivity problem on this platform, which is making the engagement very, very difficult. And members are battling on one end, and I'm told the recording is not going to assist us moving forward, particularly because we also transcribe these meetings as and when they happen. And colleagues are battling. So we have been discussing as the committee that it may be best that we suspend today's proceedings because it is increasingly becoming very, very difficult to connect. I personally have had to drive to the local town as the meeting was going on. And it seems as if whilst there may be network issues, but the platform itself is giving us particular difficulty. And so there is a proposal that we suspend today's proceedings and look for a date in future which will be amicable to both the committee and ESCOM, of course, including but not limited to the department as well. But it seems as if we're experiencing fundamental difficulty on the platform, and the staff our support staff is also indicating such. So colleagues, that's the dilemma that we are currently faced with now, that we may not find ourselves being effective and efficient. And of course, the issues remain on the table and that we will have to interact with ESCOM in conjunction with the law enforcement agencies so that all these issues can be brought to a logical finality in so far as how we're going to process it for reporting purposes to the House. But under the circumstances, we are really battling on this platform today. So because I'm just putting that there, and then if we can then make a decision on that.
Chair, if I could come in.
Honourable Minister?
No, let's agree with your proposal, Chair. And between ESCOM and ourselves, we'll be mindful of the kind of issues that have been raised. And even if there are past reports that have been submitted to the committee, we'll put together a new pack that has all of the information, past and present. So that's the first point. The second, Chair, is your suggestion that the law enforcement community account for its own performance is an important one. As you know, ESCOM is not a law enforcement agency. It does enforce the law in terms of its internal processes. But where there are criminal charges involved or allegations involved, those are in the hands of the law enforcement agencies, whether that is back in 2014 or 2010 or more recently as well. So we would concur with your guidance on that matter. We will also distinguish between the criminal matters and the civil matters more clearly so that honourable members can have a list of both, although I think the material is certainly there, and we must thank ESCOM for their transparency in this particular regard as well. And the last one, Chair, is that we've always told the committee and other committees of Parliament that these institutions were severely damaged, whether it's in respect of their operations, their finances, their work ethic, the integrity, or just internal controls. So I think what the CEO has been trying to communicate is that they are in the midst, as we are all, of a process of rebuilding these institutions. And that context is quite important. And have a look at that booklet that Mr. Tekane has a sense of historical context, which is not irrelevant to the issues that we are dealing with currently. But we take your guidance, Chairperson, and we'll discuss the future date of the meeting with your office and have the necessary material upgraded to the satisfaction of everyone concerned. Thank you very much.
Airport Company of America is committed to flattening the curve in an attempt to combat the coronavirus pandemic.
Can we get the chairperson of the board of ESCO done? I had another question.
Thank you, Chair, and the Minister. I think I concur with your suggestion that we terminate this meeting so that we can all get meaningful, I think, engagements together. Actually, I think the issues that were being raised were quite interesting and insightful, and hopefully we can find a suitable date, I think, to deal with some of the issues that the members have already raised. But I just want to repeat a point that I think Andre and the ministers have repeated. I think we are dealing here at ESCOM with a chronic intransigent culture in whatever form you want to describe it. And I would really appeal to members to understand that I think to turn this big ship, I think requires persistence, requires focus, and requires all the energies that we have as a board and as the EXCO and the staff of ESCOM, I think, to have a shared vision and a shared mission and a shared journey of where we're all going. Because at the end of the day, I think, you know, the success of ESCOM is in all our interests, our well-being, our economic recovery, and all other aspects of our life revolves around this secure, reliable energy utility that we have in the country. But in short, Chair, I think I agree with your proposal that the Minister supports, and I support that too, that we find a suitable date to probe more usefully and meaningfully into the issues that you have put on the table or the committee has put on the table at a different time from today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Fully understand that there are historic challenges which require solutions and interventions. As I've put it before,
sure.
As a committee, our job is to look backwards, asking the critical question, what killed the autopsy? And that autopsy, Honorable Samuel?
No, you are getting lost.
Honorable Samuel, right? Honorable Samuel?
No, sir, I was going to say that you are getting lost. We are no longer catching you.
Okay.
I hope that we are on the stream of supporting the view that the meeting must adjourn. And if then that is the case, we'll come back with the matters raised. And even those which are not yet raised, which we're going to handle more clearer to facilitate some kind of understanding in dealing with the matters of ESCO. This is a very important institution, important body. In light of what the president has referred to yesterday, in ensuring that the country enhances its own capability for industrialization. So matters handled by ESCOM to guarantee energy in a manner of how those sources are mobilized. So we have to exercise patience while we deal with matters
with the depth that is necessary. But at the end of it all, we arrive at a point of ensuring that this is a stabilizing institution going forward. So in agreement of the fact that let's go back, not because of any preparedness or what have you, but because of us being victims of this IT connectivity, more so today, so that we choose a day where, if it is possible, we can have a face-to-face discussion on these matters. Thank you very much, Chair.
Oh, thank you much, Honourable Somio. I was coming to the members precisely on that point, but in reaction to what the Minister and the Chairperson of the Board had been saying, I was saying we are not apart with Eskom. We fully understand and appreciate the complexity of the challenges which prevail at Eskom and fully understand that there are going to be bold and tough decisions that have to be taken as part of the corrective action to deal with the historic matters. And we are here to enhance that process because fundamentally and ultimately our job, we ask the question, what killed the patient? We look backwards, going forward, looking forward. And so we do the best of both worlds in that regard. And it is precisely to enrich the Eskom process that we ask these questions and probe these matters so that we are in a position to fix Eskom. Because that is the ultimate goal, is to fix Eskom to be a financially viable entity, one entrenched in systems and operations which are consistent with the law. And so that the people do not become systems. And so that the system is protected from the elements of corruption, fraud, maladministration, which has characterized Eskom for the longest of time. The grand looting that has taken place and the systemic and systematic collapse of Eskom being engineered as part of the broader challenges which came with state capture. So we are not apart with Eskom. Ours is to exert the necessary pressure to set Eskom on the right direction. And so we will definitely be interacting with Eskom and the law enforcement agencies, and we will explore the possibilities as far as possible of a physical meeting, particularly with Eskom and also the other strategic entities which we have to deal with, so that we do not find ourselves in the current situation. And we are expecting Eskom to present deliverables on issues where it is to act. And so this is including but not limited to internal processes insofar as consequence management is concerned. Those issues are not dependent on law enforcement agencies. The issue of contract management is not dependent on law enforcement agencies. Those are ESCOM responsibilities and fiduciary responsibilities which we must ensure are there. So there's work that the law enforcement agencies must do, but there's work that Eskom itself has to do. So I think we can suspend the meeting on that understanding that we are on the same hymn sheet here insofar as the appreciation of the historic matters and the commitment to effective, efficient and functional Eskom. And we will hold Eskom account to its own commitments and to its own responsibilities. That must not be lost. Our understanding and appreciation does not exempt Eskom from accountability. And so those issues will remain firmly on the table. We must apologize as Parliament for today's issues on our platform, which we are using for these things. It's very difficult when members are in and out because of makes the engagement to fall by the wayside. I mean, some Eskom officials are also battling, also in and out. It makes the flow of the meeting to be disrupted and we are all over the place. So we're at front, and we will set into motion processes for a meeting which will be under better and more conducive circumstances, and has really been suggested along the lines of actually a physical meeting or a hybrid meeting at the very least, so that we do not get lost within the cracks and crevices of technology. So on that note, colleagues, thank you very much to the Minister and the Chairperson of the Board, CEO, colleagues, and to our support staff. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.